we're talking about a stewardship program, a public-private partnership in Wisconsin that's up for reauthorization. Looking at the impact of the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program over the decades on The Morning Show, I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here. Governor Evers' next two-year state budget request includes reauthorizing the program through 2031 at a level of $70 million a year in bonding. Do you think the state should actively try to preserve land from development with purchasing power to conserve special places? Or do we have enough natural lands now? Join in 800-642-1234. Charles Carlin is Strategic Initiatives Director for Gathering Waters. It's an alliance of 40 land trusts around Wisconsin. It works to help preserve water, land, and wildlife statewide. Charlie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me today.
Well, let's get some backstory on Knowles Nelson, which was created in 89, named after two of our former governors, Warren Knowles and Gaylord Nelson, who gave us Earth Day. Can you tell us a little bit more about this history?
Yeah, absolutely. So the naming of the program after Warren Knowles and Gaylord Nelson is really meant to invoke Wisconsin's rich bipartisan history of support for conservation. So traditionally, land and water conservation and outdoor recreation has been something that all Wisconsinites can agree is really important and is valuable to our state. And the program has really become Wisconsin's flagship program for environmental conservation and for developing outdoor recreation infrastructure. So the program provides funds for the DNR to acquire land, but it also provides matching grants for nonprofit conservation organizations like land trusts or local governments to acquire land for parks and trails. And then it really forms the backbone of our outdoor recreation infrastructure. So bike paths, boat launches, shelters, restroom facilities, trailheads. These are all things that are made possible by funding from the stewardship program.
That's a wide variety of things. Are there any specific things that the bulk of this money from this program is used for?
Well, the program is really broken up into what I would say three buckets.
Okay.
So one bucket is for the Department of Natural Resources, and they use money to either acquire land outright or to acquire what are called easements, which is basically rules that get attached to how land can be used. So for example, much of DNR's money these days goes to acquiring what are called working forest easements. So that means the land stays private, but it won't be chopped up, it won't be subdivided, and commercial foresters can continue to work it in order to support the forestry industry, but then also hunters and recreationists can get out and enjoy it. The second bucket is what we would call that nonprofit conservation organization. So that is your local community land trust who leverages philanthropic giving along with a matching grant from the state in order to protect those really special places that mean a lot to individual communities. And then there's the local government bucket. And that is everything from the village or township level up to cities and counties who will get those 50% matching grants as well to build out things like the bike path that you use to ride to work or to acquire land for the park where you go walk your dog every morning.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Charlie Carlin, who's Director of Strategic Initiatives for Gathering Waters, as we look at the impact of the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program over the decades and how it works. You can join in with your insights, your questions, 800-642-1234. Charlie, how competitive or difficult is the application process to getting at these funds?
So there's a tremendous amount of demand for these funds, in particular that local units of government program. So if your city or town or county wants to apply for a grant to put in a pedestrian bridge, say, that facilitates recreation or commuting to work on your bike or by foot, that program receives more than three times as many grant applications as there is money to give out. So aspects of this program are incredibly competitive. And, you know, I think as we all saw during 2020 with the COVID pandemic and quarantines, there is this boom in interest in outdoor recreation. And so we saw usage just skyrocket all across the state, from state parks to local trails. You know, one of our partners, the Ozaukee Washington Land Trust, which is in Ozaukee County, just north of Milwaukee, they have a very popular nature preserve called the Lion's Den Gorge. Usually sees about 100,000 visitors a year. And in 2020, they tracked more than 260,000 people coming through there.
That's so a we know whole that lot more traffic. Yeah.
Yeah, so we know that demand is there. Fishing license sales, hunting license sales, things like that are just going through the roof. And so people are clamoring for more access to outdoor recreation and just really more places to get out and enjoy nature, because so many more people found out about it in 2020 and remain excited.
Gary is with us from Boscobel. Hi, Gary. How is Knowles Nelson working in your area?
I'm involved with an organization called the Prairie Enthusiasts, and our goal is to purchase and restore native fire-dependent plant communities in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and northern Illinois. And we have purchased and protected about 2,500 acres that we own outright and another 1,000 with conservation easements. And the Nelson Knowles stewardship funding is critical for our goals. We get half of our funding to purchase these rare and disappearing sites from Nelson Knowles stewardship. And our goal is to slow down the rapid extinction of native species. Each site that we own and manage has hundreds of insect, plant, and animal species that are on the verge of disappearing forever from the upper Midwest if we can't find these sites and get funding to purchase them. And ironically, the cost of purchase is the smallest amount of burden upon our goals, because it's long-term restoration and management
and maintenance that is where the costs are. Gary, thank you. Charlie, what about the Prairie Enthusiasts?
Yeah, the Prairie Enthusiasts have been a terrific partner and an asset to all of Wisconsin and the work that they do. And like Gary mentioned, you know, land acquisition, being able to purchase land or to get an easement on it is just the first step. And then there's so much work to be done to restore habitat or to build out the trails and trailheads and maps so that people can get out and enjoy it. A group like the Prairie Enthusiasts is a really nice example of how a foundational matching grant from state funding enables them to go out, fundraise, get a lot of donations in order to acquire that land, and then put in just thousands and thousands of volunteer hours, making sure that these places are beautiful and healthy and are serving everyone in Wisconsin.
Yeah, really a springboard there. Jack is joining us from Madison. Hi, Jack. What is your question?
Hi there. First of all, I wanted to say that, I guess in regards to public land and state and county parks, I really don't think there can be any shortage of it, just because I feel like it's a really beautiful gift to the state and to the people of Wisconsin and nature lovers in general. And so I just wanted to say, first of all, thanks for all the great work that you at Knowles Nelson are doing for making sure we have enough public land so that, you know, the environment can stay safe and that people can just enjoy nature. So first of all, thanks for all you do. My question is, if anyone else hasn't asked this yet, what are the circumstances exactly under which Knowles Nelson was created? And can you maybe speak to how many Wisconsinites support Knowles Nelson on the whole throughout the state?
Jack, thank you. Charlie.
Yeah, that's a great question, Jack. You know, so the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program was initially created in 1989. So that was under Republican Governor Tommy Thompson. It was such a success that the program was renewed at the turn of the century for another 10 years, and funding was doubled for it at that point. In 2010, we then saw funding increased again to its high water mark of $86 million a year. And unfortunately, the program has really been whittled down since then to its current funding level of about $33 million a year. So it was certainly created under the bipartisan environment, having a Republican governor really stand up and say how important, you know, Wisconsin's conservation tradition was, is I think a really key piece of the stewardship program. Sorry, Kate, can you remind me of the second part of the question?
Well, and I just also want to follow up there. What would it mean for Governor Evers wanting to take it to $70 million a year for the next 10 years?
Well, I think for Governor Evers requesting to take the program to $70 million a year, one, that's recognizing how a decade of cuts have really created an enormous backlog of need. So there's a huge need for maintenance and updates on DNR-owned properties. So those state parks and state natural areas that we all like to visit. And those are things like upgrading the campgrounds and the trails and the restroom facilities. So we've seen that there's a lot of need that's sort of been pushed aside. Earlier, I mentioned just how competitive those local government grants are. And so Governor Evers' budget sees that need and puts in three times as much money into that local government bucket so that all of those projects that are worthwhile can be funded. And then finally, the governor's budget adds about 30% to the nonprofit conservation organizations, the land trusts, and there's absolutely a demand out there for those projects. And again, those are all just 50% matching grants. So that means that charitable donors, other grant sources, family foundations, they're the ones that are coming in and helping make the rest of the project possible. And it's really the state providing that seed money that demonstrates confidence in a project, allows a group to launch a fundraising campaign, or really gives a local parks department a foothold to get a project going.
Charlie Carlin is with us. Gathering Waters is the nonprofit working to advance policies for land and water protection in Wisconsin. One centerpiece issue, of course, for the group is the renewal of the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program. Do you live near a park or wilderness area? What does it mean to you? Has your community secured grants through the program? How was the funding used? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll talk more with Charlie and look at the effects on the Kinnickinnick watershed in particular when we return in a moment on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the role of the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program on our state's natural resources. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Getting to the second part of Jack's question earlier, according to polling last August, with a sample size of around 500 people, there's tremendous support for this program. 92% of respondents wanted the stewardship program reauthorized for another decade. Are you in this camp, or do you think it's run its course? Join in 800-642-1234. Charlie Carlin is Strategic Initiatives Director for the group Gathering Waters. He stays with us. Charlene Brooks-Simonson is Executive Director of the Kinnickinnick River Land Trust. It's a community-based land trust working to conserve and protect the Kinnickinnick River and its watershed in northwestern Wisconsin. Charlene, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Explain how your land trust works.
Yeah, so the Kinnickinnick River Land Trust has used the Knowles Nelson program numerous times over its 27-year history, and really to protect some really high-value conservation areas. So looking at wetlands, prairies, oak savannas, and a lot of critical habitat, but also to make sure that we're creating some resiliency in the community that loves and recreates on the Kinnickinnick River. Most recently, really the kind of the latest flagship property that we've been able to work through is a property that we're calling the community forest on the Kinnickinnick. It's a 44-acre forest in the township of River Falls. It literally makes up the property line for the city of River Falls. So it's pretty close to the downtown center there. And it is really what I call the center of a flower. So it's surrounded by multiple pieces of public land and lands that have private conservation on them. And it really is a lovely example of how Knowles Nelson can serve to leverage existing resources on the landscape and existing resources in the community. So over 100 donors donated to this property. We purchased it in January of this year. And Knowles Nelson was a really critical piece of being helping us bring this project forward. So land trusts like ourselves, we really work in a forever lens. That's just the nature of how we're set up. And sometimes land projects are really complicated and really complex and take a really long time. And this particular project was 40 years in the making.
Wow.
So for 40 years, the community worked to hash out this deal, hash out this land, recognizing that it was truly, truly special. So it protects 3,000 feet of shoreline on two high quality trout streams. It links lands that are owned by the city of River Falls, the township of River Falls, and the River Falls School District to create 500 acres of contiguous migratory corridors and recreation. And lastly, it provides access to a landlocked school forest, which has been landlocked since the 1930s, 1940s. So we didn't just provide access to 44 additional acres. We were able to provide access to over 110 acres because of the lands that became open through the River Falls School Forest, where they're looking to build up some programming for their students. And what, you know, this particular project also helped us leverage some federal dollars. So in total, we had over $100 donors, but those donors included the Community Forest and Open Space Grant Program through the U.S. Forest Service, corporate dollars through the Cabela's and Bass Pro's Outdoor Fund, along with many other individuals, entities, and organizations.
So a really complicated web patchwork in order to, see these projects to fruition and to have this forest. With the Knowles Nelson piece, what if you took that piece away? I mean, what would it mean to enable these programs?
So there, Knowles Nelson is critical because the stages of getting a piece of property protected, it's this big, messy puzzle, right? And so you have to meet a landowner at the right time in the right place and space. And in many cases, you need to be able to demonstrate that to another funder or to the landowner that the project has real legs. And we need to be nimble. So as the environment is changing, as climate change impacts us more and more on a daily basis, much of our work is really working to make sure that we're creating, you know, resiliency on the landscape. And so we need to be able to jump and jump quick, because sometimes these projects are just a flash in the pan if we're not able to address them right away. And so knowing that there's funding like Knowles Nelson that can be that seed, that can be that foundation, gives us confidence to be able to work with landowners, approach individuals, approach the community, and say, hey, here's where we are. Here's what needs to happen. Here's what we can do. And for the most part, our communities are ready and wanting us to do that work. And Knowles Nelson really gives us that foothold to be able to move forward.
Yeah, that timing's so critical. Charlene Brooks Simonson leads the Kinnickinnick River Land Trust. Charlie Carlin's here with Gathering Waters as we look closer at the impact of the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program through the years. John is joining us from Madison. Hi, John. Go ahead on land acquisition.
Yeah, hey, as an indigenous person from, the Caribbean, I'd like to just point out that, like, any land acquisition that we're talking about, like, negatively impacts, you know, the native people who, you know, still occupy parts of the land or this or that, right? I just wanted to point out that I think it's important to really think about when we're buying up land for public use that, you know, the people who once lived there, you know, are witnessing these sales, and, you know, it does, you know, hit a different way when, you know, we're not talking about how we can, you know, maybe offer land back and offer help to manage the land or learn about the native ways of keeping the land, you know, because generally they're better for the land, you know, than bringing on certain agricultural changes and, you know, geographical changes that we make to the land to make them accessible.
John, thank you for bringing your perspective. Charlie, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, John. I really appreciate that comment. And I think you're absolutely right that contemporary environmental conservation does not address 500 years of ongoing colonial dispossession. That is a really important issue. And I think we have a lot of work to do in order to bring all of Wisconsin's indigenous communities to the table to really be active partners in figuring out the best way forward for land conservation and really for how we manage the state as a whole. You know, that being said, we had a caller earlier from the Prairie Enthusiasts, for example, who really talked about their work to, you know, protect remnant prairie and then to restore prairie as well. And some of that is about taking marginal lands out of production, restoring them to native prairie. Some of that is about employing management practices that had been used for centuries before colonization. Mm. So I think that folks are making their best effort to be good stewards of the land through this program, even though there's certainly a lot to learn.
Charlie Carlin stays with us from Gathering Waters. Charlene, I want to thank you for telling your story. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Charlene Brooks Simonson is Executive Director of Kinnickinnick River Land Trust. You can join in. What do you envision about your boat launches, your parks, your campgrounds? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with an eye on Vilas County after a news update on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show as we discuss the impact of the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program on conservation efforts all over the state. I'm Kate Archer Kent. In the last state budget, the stewardship program was set to expire in July. Governor Evers seeks to reauthorize it through 2031. Do you think the state should be actively trying to preserve land from development? What do you think the future holds for Knowles Nelson? Share with us, 800-642-1234. Charlie Carlin stays with us from Gathering Waters. It's an alliance of land trusts in Wisconsin. And Jim Tuckwell is here, chairman of the board of the Vilas County Economic Development Corporation in northern Wisconsin. Jim, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you, Kate. Thank you for having me on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, economic development groups, you typically tend to focus on attracting new employers, more jobs to a region. How has land preservation become part of Vilas County's strategy for economic development?
Well, that's a great question, and it's crucial to our economic development strategy, because Vilas County, we're extremely fortunate to have one of the densest concentrations of freshwater lakes and streams in the world. We're a destination, an environmental destination, and of course, that has built a very thriving tourism industry here. But the Vilas County Economic Development Corporation, the VCEDC, really has a strategy to attract environmentally friendly entrepreneurs, small expanding businesses, and increasingly remote workers to Vilas County. And with our expanding broadband capabilities, we can do that. And of course, you know, maintaining, preserving, and providing access to our lakes and streams and forests is just crucial to this. So over the years, over about a 30-year period, we've been fortunate to get about over six and a half million dollars in funding from the Knowles Nelson program, and this has done everything. Go ahead, Kate.
Yeah, I was going to say, what have those funds been used for?
I was just we're great minds think alike. That's just where I was heading. For example, multiple grants to help preserve the Northern Highlands State Forest, likewise to help with the Powell Marsh Wildlife Area. About 15 years ago, we received funding to help rehabilitate a boat landing in Land O'Lakes. And most recently, the last couple of years, what's been really key is matching grant funding for our trail system. We have over 70 different silent sports trails, and we've got an extensive over 90 miles of bike trails, of which almost three-fourths is paved. So we received funding in just the last couple of years for the Presque Isle Pipke Park Phase 2 Trail, the Boulder Junction North Creek Loop Trail, the St. Germain Mountain Bike Trail, and just recently two different grants for the Great Headwaters Trail connecting Conover and Phelps, which will also connect to Eagle River. So we're seeing a network of bike trails connecting our communities. And this has been a draw not only for tourists, but for our work to attract remote workers and entrepreneurs to live here year round.
Yeah, so real quality of life assets there. Charlie, I want to get your thoughts on how Knowles Nelson is playing a role in economic development.
Well, I think just like Jim was saying, what Knowles Nelson can do is it provides the foundation for building out that outdoor recreation infrastructure. So in a lot of our smaller communities, or frankly, even our bigger cities, parks departments simply don't have the funding to pull off these projects on their own. And so the prospect of a 50% match from the state then really allows them to go out, beat the bushes, and find that other 50%, whether that's through local revenues or that's through charitable giving. And what we're finding is that people want access to recreation close to home, as well as those spectacular places that they want to go visit. Jim's in the fortunate place of being able to kind of hit a home run on both of those, and that Vilas County is a tourist destination and increasingly is a place for people who can work remote or want to relocate to a place with really rich outdoor amenities. You know, as we mentioned earlier, just interest in outdoor recreation blew up in 2020. I was just in Rhinelander the other day speaking with the owner of Mel's Trading Post there, and he was talking to me about how they can't keep kayaks on the shelves. Mm. They are already sold out on bicycles through like 2023.
Wow.
On back orders. And just because that demand and that excitement is there. And so what that means is by having these trails, you give people a place to go and play. Nobody's going to buy a bicycle if they don't have a place to go ride it. Nobody's going to buy a kayak if they don't have a place to go and enjoy it. And so some of the things that we saw, for example, last year, we had this huge increase in first-time fishing license sales. And so then that means that people are stopping to buy bait and lures, and they're stopping off at the local restaurant after they go fishing in order to have dinner or to grab a beer. And these are all the kinds of things that stitch a community together and that really provide a solid foundation for a local economy. And the really neat thing about investments in environmental conservation is that they keep paying us back for generations. So for example, we did an analysis of, you know, what's the value of nature's work, things like carbon sequestration and air and water filtration. And we found that every acre that we've conserved through the stewardship program returns about a $3,000 value to Wisconsin every year. So that means Knowles Nelson is paying us back a couple billion dollars every single year. And that's a really remarkable value.
Huge return on investment and quite a ripple effect. Jim, I'm wondering, what are remote workers telling you about Vilas County? What are some of the things you're hearing?
Well, that's a great question. And interestingly, we just last week held a virtual meetup for remote workers. And we had 25 remote workers, you know, join us in that meeting. And, you know, they're all telling us the same thing. You know, and frankly, I spent the last 10 years of my IBM career working remotely from our home here in Lac des Flambeaux. And they're telling us that's the same thing that we're talking about and discussing here. They all have a connection to the North Woods. Either they grew up here or they vacationed here or they have a significant other that's from here. Mm. And they love the North Woods. And with our expanding broadband capability, they have the opportunity to live, you know, in a location that they love and still pursue their career. And from an economic development perspective, we're working to recruit more remote workers because, I mean, these 25 people on the meetup last week would be the equivalent of attracting a small business with 25 employees. But the key is that they have literally no environmental impact. And they've brought their work and their income with them. And their incomes are traditionally and typically significantly higher than the median and average incomes here in the North Woods. So it's just a win-win. And our expanding broadband capability is allowing this to happen. And we're seeing increasing interest in it.
We're talking with Jim Tuckwell, who is chair of the Vilas County Economic Development Corporation. Charlie Carlin here with Gathering Waters, an alliance of land trusts around Wisconsin, as we look at how Knowles Nelson has affected the far northern reaches of our state and the economic development piece of this. You can join in. Do you work for a nonprofit that has been working to raise money for outdoor recreation? Have you been able to use state money from the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Program? How has that gone for you? 800-642-1234. Jim, has the Vilas County Economic Development Corporation applied for Knowles Nelson's funds directly, or does it partner with other groups and other government or in government? How does that work?
We're actually partnering. And for instance, Jeff Curry, who heads up the Great Northern Bike nonprofit, is a volunteer on our board, and through that organization, they have applied for numerous different Knowles Nelson grants, as well as other grant funding, and so we partner with other organizations that are really focused on a particular initiative. Like in Jeff's case, it would be the bike trails, whereas the work we do is to actually attract more of the remote workers and entrepreneurs to the area. And as I've mentioned, it's all of the environmentally attractive capabilities that we have here in the Northwoods that allow us to attract remote workers and entrepreneurs here.
You know, Charlie, if someone's listening and they're saying, you know what, my EDC, I work with it, we're not thinking about this, the Knowles Nelson piece. What would you tell economic development corporations out there?
Well, I think what I would say to them is to reach out to their local trails nonprofits, the Friends Group, Friends of State Parks, or to find their area land trust, folks who can help leverage this funding, and folks who really understand, you know, the process of how do you go from idea to completed trail system, or from, hey, it would be really nice if we had an accessible fishing pier here, to making it happen and having a community asset. You know, I think we, as many people around the state, just like Jim are saying, are finding that having access to high quality outdoor recreation is just absolutely crucial to attracting and retaining a quality workforce. And then certainly in the northern part of our state, you know, some of the demographic trends that we're seeing is that population is sometimes declining, because folks are getting older, younger people are moving away to find good employment. And as Jim was pointing out, being able to say, hey, your job can be anywhere, but you can live and work here in the North Woods, means that it's not just accessible to folks with vacation homes. And it also means that people can bring that economic impact right to the area. And that's really compelling. And I would say that, you know, for every place that you go out and enjoy, a mountain bike trail, a fishing area, a park, you know, there is a volunteer group behind that that's helping maintain and take care of it and helped launch that idea. And they can be really terrific allies.
We have a question here from Tom in Rhinelander. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi. I'd like the guest to speak to the impact on the local property taxes. Our local legislator seems to feel that it impacts that, and I understand there's ways in stewardship designed to ameliorate that.
Tom, thank you. Jim, you first. Do you have insights there on, you know, whether these land acquisitions impact local property taxes?
Well, you know, here in Vilas County, it's less about acquiring more land, because 43% of our county is currently open to the public, is either county, state, or federal forests. So what we're seeing, as we've been discussing, the Knowles Nelson impact here has been less on acquisition and much, much more on preservation, and then providing access through the bike trails or boat ramps, mm-hmm. or whatever. So here, I don't think it's an issue.
Charlie?
Yeah, Tom, I really appreciate that question. And, you know, without getting too wonky on the policy, I think that there are a couple of responses to that. One is that there are systems built within the state where when the DNR acquires land, they will make payments to local governments in lieu of the property tax revenue that might have been lost. I would also say that the DNR, especially over the last decade, has really shifted away from acquiring what we say acquiring land in fee, meaning owning it outright, to these easements. And what that means is that a private landowner continues to own the property. That might be a paper company, that might be a timber investment organization. They're going to own that land. They're going to pay property taxes on it. But there is going to be a guarantee that it won't be subdivided so that it continue to operate as a working forest. It can host trails like snowmobile trails or hiking trails or biking trails. And then a piece that we haven't talked about yet today is there's a component of the stewardship program called the County Forest Program. Wisconsin's kind of unique in that our counties together own a couple million acres of land. A lot of states don't have that. When a county buys county forest land and they harvest the timber on that land, those revenues go directly back into the local government. Mm-hmm. And that provides far more revenue than, say, a private landowner who's enrolled in the Managed Forest Law program. And then by keeping those blocks of forest intact, you don't have the increased service burden of running electrical lines out there, of providing trash service out to individual parcels of land. And I'll say that, you know, our county forests are home to nearly 10,000 miles of snowmobile trails, thousands of campsites, thousands of miles of ATV trails, you know, and the list goes on. And so, again, we have to think about this in the broader context of, yeah, we put some money in, and then what's the return on investment that we get back? And the Northwoods are thriving in the way that they are because of the investments we've made in public land, natural areas, and outdoor recreation.
Charlie Carlin stays with us from the organization Gathering Waters. Jim Tuckwell, thank you for joining us and giving your perspective from Vilas County.
Kate and Charlie, thank you very much.
Jim Tuckwell chairs the Vilas County Economic Development Corporation. Still time for you, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a moment on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. When someone is willing to sell a piece of land that holds significant value to the natural environment, what is Wisconsin to do? We're looking at that question in light of the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program. In 2019, the Legislative Fiscal Bureau published analysis over nearly 30 years of the program. It found the DNR had used about $544 million in stewardship bonding to buy easements access to nearly 691,000 acres. So what's next? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Charlie Carlin is director with Gathering Waters, a group that works to advance conservation policy. Stephanie Vrabeck is here, a vice chair of the board of the Community Foundation for the Fox Valley region. Stephanie, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, start out by telling us how funds from Knowles-Nelson are being used in the Fox Valley region.
Well, they've been used in the past 30 years to secure over 170 conservation and recreation projects in the Fox Valley. That's totaling over $18.4 million. These funds have supported many community parks, recreational trails, and wetland preservation, increasing access to nature and recreation for Fox Valley residents. The Northeast Wisconsin Land Trust has also used Knowles-Nelson grant funds to conserve some of the most important natural areas in the region. I know this has been talked about, let's call it preservation of our natural infrastructure. The hardworking lands protected by land trusts in the Fox Valley area and around the state, they clean the air, purify water, sequester carbon, store floodwaters, protect agricultural soils, and also provide wildlife habitat.
So many, many projects. You've helped raise private funds for these projects as well. Could they still have been possible without the money from the state?
Well, I think the state funding has been an important piece in a collaborative effort. The Knowles Nelson Stewardship Funds, of course, as we've mentioned, are matching funds. So without these types of funds, I don't think these larger projects could be successful in communities. I'll just note one of the major projects that's just newly finished in our area. This project is the, it's called the Nelson Family Heritage Crossing, and it's a recreational trail connecting Little Chute and Kakana across the Fox River. It's one of our larger projects that really was spearheaded by the Community Foundation for the Fox Valley Region as they became the convener, let's call it, the convener of funds from the communities. Actually, municipal support was $1.2 million on this fund, on this project, and $650,000 from a community foundation fund, the David and Rita Nelson Fund, and then $1 million from Knowles Nelson. And that also ignited additional private fundraising, corporate and local donors to complete the $3.3 million fabulous project that connects Little Chute to Kakana. So that's an example of how really without the Knowles Nelson funds, these big community projects probably couldn't happen.
Let's bring in Alex in Appleton with thoughts on Knowles Nelson. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Well, the previous speaker took all my thunder, but that's okay. It's good to hear from the Community Foundation. Most of those points she made were the things that I was going to talk about. But another one of the significant projects that was completed last year is the Lost Street Trestle Project in Appleton, very similar to the one she was talking about, Little Chute and Kakana. Another really significantly high-cost project that, when it was opened, just saw an incredible amount of traffic and community embracement. And part of the long-term trails development plan for the city of Appleton has a few of these really large key components that will finally connect a series of trails that really embrace the Fox River and sort of bring that life back to the river corridor. So that was one. We have two more on deck, and one of those is a crossing to the Peace Park, the future Peace Park across the Fox River, and there's another one that connects a couple of the parks along the Fox River. And so those two large projects, I think, are going to be delayed significantly if this fund goes away or if we, reduce the size of the fund. And I just want to, sometimes people think about the Knowles Nelson as, outdoor recreation and conservation and don't quite have a picture of how significant that fund is in the conversations and developing revenue to create these really, really a high use inner city urban projects that really expand the quality of life for our citizens. So it's really important that we support this and reach out to representatives to show support for the continuation of the fund.
Alex, thanks for the call. Charlie, I want you to jump in here because, Stephanie is calling this natural infrastructure, and I just want to get your final thoughts on natural infrastructure and what you see ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So natural infrastructure is a great way to put it because these are the lands and the outdoor recreation amenities that drive our outdoor recreation economy, which is worth, say, $18 billion in consumer spending every year, that drives a $25 billion forestry economy as well. And really appreciate all the enthusiasm that callers have had today. Kate, you mentioned polling that shows that 9 out of 10 Wisconsin residents want to see this program expanded. Unfortunately, I think that there is a real danger that the program won't continue, that legislators who control the Joint Finance Committee will be caught up in partisan rancor, and we might lose funding for the program. And so I would certainly encourage folks to reach out to their legislators, share their support. We have a ton of information about the program at knowlesnelson.org, where people can really learn in detail about what this program does all around the state.
Charlie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's great to chat with you this morning.
And Stephanie, thank you for the view from the Fox Valley region. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Charlie Carlin is Director of Strategic Initiatives for Gathering Water. Stephanie Vrabeck, Board Vice Chair for the Community Foundation for the Fox Valley region.